Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports on FM. It just sounds better. KGOC-FM HD1 San Francisco. KUFX HD2 San Jose. 95.7 The Game. 95.7 The Game. Live and local. Now, it's Rick Tittle on 95.7 The Game.
All right, thanks so much, and welcome back to 95.7 The Game. Rick Tittle with you. That's me, you're you. I'm here for another hour, and we'll throw it to Zach and Guru. We'll get to your calls in the next segment again on the rest of the way. 888-957-9570, the text line 95795. People who know me, you know I'm a big hockey guy, and I love the Sharks. Their first 9 years of the broadcast, 91 through 99, I worked the television side as a technical director. This is my team. I love them. And that's why, as always, it's great to catch up with Jamie Baker, former Shark and broadcaster as well. And Jamie, first things first, I'm really excited about Tuesday night. I'll be attending the dinner, the 25th anniversary. People in tuxedos. Any other surprises I should know about?
Well, if it was a surprise, then it wouldn't be a surprise. So if I knew it was a surprise, I wouldn't tell you because then it would take away the surprise. But I think it's just going to be a great night. I know, they're bringing in there's going to be a bunch of people there. All the players are going to be in tuxedos. I know Randy and Dan are going to be the MCs. I think the video, it's broken up into different segments. I think from the beginning here, some of the great players, and I know there's also going to be a tribute to the fans, but it's just going to be a great night. We're going to celebrate Teal the last 25 years.
I remember I was so excited when they got the franchise, and I bought a sweater before they even had the logo yet. They were going to have a contest to see what the actual logo for the Sharks was going to be. But as an expansion team by themselves, they said, look, we can't give you the number one pick because that's Eric Lindros. So you can have the number two, and we know he got Patty Falloon. But the whole thing with Lindros saying, I won't play for the Nords, and then he has a deal with both the Flyers and the Rangers. They had to figure out that he was going to be a Flyer. But you're a former Nord pick. What was so bad about the Nordiques that they had to become the Lanch?
I think probably it comes back to the almighty dollar more than anything. I'd love to see Quebec get a team. Passionate fan base, but I don't know if there was enough corporate dollars. And I don't know. I don't remember exactly. You know, why do some franchises move? You know, look at football right now. You know, St. Louis is moving. Why are they moving? So probably they think they're going to make more money and have a better run out of it in Los Angeles. So I don't remember. I just remember the city was definitely depressed about it. Quebec was. And then, of course, they watched the team go through a rebuild, and then the Nordiques go to Colorado and in year one win the Stanley Cup. So I'd love to see a team go back to Quebec City at one time there in line potentially for a new franchise.
We are going to get to the team on the ice as it stands, but since I'm kind of thinking about the anniversary dinner, one of the guys that I really liked in the early days of the TV, and you mentioned Ruzanowski on the radio and Randy Hahn on TV, but I love the Stemmer. Pete Stemkowski, for me, he taught me a lot about hockey, and I just thought he was a really good guy. What was it like when you were playing and you had the old Stemmer there?
You know, when you're a player, like, you're the broadcasters, you get to know him. He's old school. Yeah, you know, and that's, he is like what he was on the air. He was the same off the air, and he got the game. I mean, here's a guy that won a Stanley Cup. The last time the Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup, he was playing for Toronto. So great guy. And, he had a good run out of here too. He was on the TV for a while and also the radio. And we always joke around though that the game winning goal against Detroit, you know, this Randy's like, he scores and all this. And Pete's analysis on it was, it's in the net. It's like, you know, and it'll be there. You'll hear his, it's in the net on Tuesday night. So, great guy.
Hey, you put the biscuit in the basket. What more can you say, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
We're speaking with Jamie Baker of the Sharks. And I can do this as media, I can't afford the ticket. But at club level, I'm sure you've seen they have a little black and white photo of everyone who's ever played for the Sharks, and it goes by, how the tenure, and of course, Patty's there with more than double everybody else, but it's interesting when I go through and I look at 91, 92, a guy that played three games. I mean, his picture's still there. I don't even remember the guy. Have you gone through there and seen some faces? You're like, whoa, wait, he was a Shark?
Yeah. You forget some guys. And, I mean, I look for guys that I played with, too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then also some of the current roster to see where they stand. I don't do it very often. I bet you once a year, if I got some extra time, I'm walking by there and check it out, see some old. You know, it's kind of funny where I am and the amount of games, you know, you go like the 15 players in front of me and behind me are a lot of the guys that, you know, I either played with or have been here while I was broadcasting. So brings back some good memories. And I mean, it's kind of funny, like 25 years. I know this organization hasn't been to the Stanley Cup yet. Like, that's the only thing you can really, if there's a knock on it, that's the only knock you can really say. They've had prolonged success. They've had superstar players here, Hall of Famers. And, it's been getting a little bit louder here the last few games. The team wins. But, like, you go around the league, Sharks, the fans are known to be one of the loudest in the league. And guys from opposing teams, they all love coming and playing here. But they also say it's intimidating because the fans are so loud and it's such a vibrant arena playing here at SAP Center. So it's got a great reputation around the league.
Well, yeah, I remember the pictures of Chichu and his jammies in Moose Jaw. He was wearing Sharks pajamas, and every little kid wanted Sharks gear. And, of course, celebrated by the Hockey News being the greatest sweater of all time. And, I would like to see them at least win the West and get there. We're speaking with Jamie Baker, so let's talk about the team. You mentioned at the Tank. And why they can't win there consistently is befuddling. Also, noticing some empty seats, and people say, well, they were disgruntled after choking to the Kings and not making the playoffs last year. And you can't say the honeymoon's over when it's been over 20 years, but a little bit flat at home. Why is that, do you think, Jamie?
Well, hopefully it's going to change, first of all. Tonight's a big game against Dallas. I don't know. I don't think anybody can put their finger on it, certainly not the coaches and players, or they would have fixed it by now. So if they can't fix it, if they're not sure, then I don't know. I think if you look at one thing, they've gone on some road trips and they've been successful, which I think is great. Like, you have to be able to play well on the road. They kind of get into a groove, you know, 6 games in 10 nights or 5 games in 9 nights, and there's no distractions. They're all in. They're eating meals together. It's basically hockey for that whole time. Then you come home, and it's not intentional, but you get back from a 10-day road trip. You're tired. Guys want to catch up with their families. There's other things you got to do, chores around the house. You know, they also have families, and they got to take that part of that care of their lives. And for whatever reason, they come out, and they haven't been playing as succinct, as tight a game, as desperate a game as we've seen on the road. So it's fixable because we've seen them win on the road. We know they can win. We've seen them beat good teams on the road. And now they just got to parlay that at home. And they've won two in a row. Tonight's going to be a big test. Got a desperate Dallas team. But play a consistent game. Play a simple game. Support each other. Get that secondary scoring and get the good goaltending at the right time, and they'll be fine.
Rick Tittle with the Jamie Bakers of the Sharks. A couple more questions for Bakes. And with the GM Wilson, I don't want to say on the hot seat, but still under some scrutiny after the last couple of years, I would think that there's going to be a move, and it could be more of a quiet one, like a Brendan Dillon type of trade, or a blockbuster like a Danny Heatley type of trade, a Joe Thornton type of trade, when he wasn't even on the block and he called up Boston and got him out here. Do you think it's going to be a big move? Do they have the pieces for the big move, or do you think it's going to be more quiet?
I don't even know if there's going to be a move. You know, like, getting into that type of analysis, honestly, is way above my pay grade. The cap system, where it sits, and the length of contracts of players, and, you know, with some of the younger players and where they potentially sit with free agency, it is very complicated. And it's not just one guy. It's a team behind the scenes. Doug's got people, you know, like, analyzing the salary cap of not just their team, but other teams. And you have to look at what free agents are going to be coming up in the next couple of years. You look at LA yesterday. You know, they secure Anze Kopitar 8 years for $80 million. Like, how's that going to affect them in the next few years? I mean, that's a great deal for Kopitar. You could say it's a great deal for the Kings. They've locked in on Zay Kopitar, but $10 million a year, if the cap doesn't go up, how does that affect them and potential movement? So there's so many moving pieces in a cap system with so much parity. That's the other thing. You don't see a lot of teams out of the playoff race. So who are the sellers right now? And so is there going to be a move? I don't know. I don't even – do they need to make a move? I mean, you could say maybe a little more depth at defense, but where are they going to get it and what's it going to cost?
And then you get guys that, you know, I root hard for Nieto being a California guy, and you know that, you know, Hurdle, a first-round pick, and all the talent in the world, and I'm just sort of waiting for one of those guys to just step up and not be the next Logan Couture, but just, you know, a guy like Tierney playing center. I know he was like a second-round pick. Have they maybe waiting too long for these young guys to step up? Because I know a lot of Sharks fans are frustrated, or is DeBoer going to stay the course because he really doesn't have any other option?
He's throwing the challenge out to these guys. It's out there. Like, right now, you better go. Like, he had some quotes like a week ago, and he said, if you're getting anywhere from 12 to 15 minutes, like, you need to produce. Those are the expectations. And he's, like, right at those guys. He's saying it. Now, that said, Nieto's game has been trending up. Hurdle has looked really good on the top line with Thornton and Pavelski. But, you know, it's not about just a good game here or there. The hardest part of it, the NHL, is you're playing against the best players in the world night in, night out. It's about consistency. Tierney, he's been playing really well. He went down and spent a couple of games down with the Barracuda. Came back. He's holding on to the puck, playing with more confidence. It's still only his second year pro, so I think he's got a little bit more time. But, you know, from an organizational standpoint, there's no question that there is a spotlight, you know, if you will, on some of these young emerging players and where they are in the development cycle. And Pete DeBoer has come out and said, there's a real balance, but like, this is not a development league. This is a win-now league. So while we try and develop these young players, like, they have to impact games to help us win. That's what this league is about.
And finally, Jamie, Rafi has skates on again. When do you think he's going to be an impact? And will he be, at his age, will he be an impact guy?
Yeah, first thing is, will he be? Don't know. I think he's, played 20 games in the last two and a half years because of the knee suspension, but also, more importantly, the knee injuries. Played last night with the Barracuda. I guess he looked rusty. He looked like a player that hasn't played in a long time. But I don't think there were any ill effects on his knee after the game. So we know his heart. We know his desire. I know he wants to redeem himself for what happened in the preseason. I think he has this internal, and this is the type of guy, he's a really good guy. I mean, I know he gets hit hard in the media, you know, in hockey, and because of all the suspensions he's had in the past, but the guy's a great guy. You meet him behind the scenes. I think he has this internal motivation / obligation to pay back this organization who has really stuck with him through some tough times, a couple of suspensions and injury, stuff like that. So, we'll see what happens. You nailed it, though. Will he be able to? If his knee holds up and he can get to NHL game speed and you know, play at the tempo that he used to, he's going to be able, and his knee's going to be able to withstand that in from game in, game out, I think he's going to have a big impact for this team. I tell you what, other players aren't going to want to play against him, that's for sure.
That's usually the case with Rafi. We've been speaking with Jamie Baker, of course, part of the Sharks broadcast team, scorer of one of the most famous goals in Sharks history. Hey, Bakes, thanks for your time on a weekend and your insights, yep. And I'll see you at the dinner, man.
All right, see you Tuesday. Thanks, man.
All right, very good. Love a little Sharks talk. And hockey fans out there, if you'd like to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. We are going to get back otherwise to the stadium issue and the fact that Mark Davis said, America, I'm open for business. What does that mean? Middlebury, Connecticut? Rick Tittle with you, 95.7 The Game.
The Game. Rick Tittle on 95.7 The Game.
Let me roll out the limo. That's Lino, baby. A little breakdancing there, a little popping and locking. Rick Tittle with you, 95.7 The Game. It's just you and me the rest of the way, and that'll be until 5 o'clock. And then Zachariah and the Guru will come in and talk about Deuteronomy and Numbers and a letter from Paul to the Ephesians. Doesn't that sound biblical? Zachariah and Guru on the road to Damascus
The prophet.
God bless.
Zachariah and Guru.
I did throw it in there, a little God bless. We got Steve, the captain of the controls. We got Brian. He's poised like a jungle cat to put you on the air on the other side of the glass. 888-957-9570, I should say, in text line 95795. First of all, I got a text from a Cajun guy, and he said my attempt at a Cajun accent for Bobby Hebert was a disaster. And I hold my hand up and say, you're right. I can't do a Cajun. I was just doing a French accent. Je ne peux pas français, je suis américain. That's all I got. So I apologize to all the Cajun people out there. And actually, when I had Bobby on, he explained to me the difference between Creoles and Cajuns. It ain't the same thing. I didn't say it was. All right, 888-957-9570. So as I was saying before, Tuesday was a fantastic day for Raider fans. Anyone who says it was a sad day obviously doesn't understand Raider fans. They're just thinking about the owner. I don't think about the owner. I think about the fans because I am one. No offense to other people. I've been here my whole life. I haven't covered different teams. I haven't gone market to market. This is the only market I'll ever work in, the only market I ever have worked in. If I wasn't in media, I would do something else. I wouldn't go be the number one guy in Sugar Ditch, Alabama. Do a little drive time down there. How about that Brett Favre coming out of retirement? That'd be a bad show. How about Carmen Policy, though? 0-4? Ever since he left the Niners the first time? When he went to Cleveland, look at Cleveland, their incarnations. I mean, the late Al Lerner gave Mike Holmgren $50 million to be the guru. I'll hire Mike Holmgren to coach. I don't want him to be in my front office. He keeps Mangini after a PowerPoint presentation as to why he should remain head coach, and then he hires Fritz Schirmer's son. There's a $50 million down the drain for you right there. He traps Brandon Whedon. It didn't go too well for him. Brady Quinn. But also, remember before that, someone decided, hey, let's be like the Niners. Dwight Clark was a pretty good wide receiver. Doesn't mean that Dwight Clark is a fantastic front office guy. And Carmen Policy and Dwight Clark, that was a disaster in Cleveland. Let's bring him back to San Francisco. Oh, so they can go into salary cap hell. Remember when Terry Donahue came in? I'm going to fix things, Niner fans, but we are going to stink for a couple years. I'm sure everybody was like, no, shh, don't say that. Don't say we're going to stink. Well, I just want to be honest with the fan base. We're going to stink for a while. No, shh, don't say that. And then Carmen did everything he could to try to keep the Raiders from moving back to Oakland. Everything on a mountaintop screaming about how what a disaster it would be to have the Raiders move back here. And then that same guy is hired to try to get them out of town. Fail. On the text line 510, Rick, be nice to Dwight Clark. Dwight Clark has obviously one of the greatest catchers in NFL history. There's no doubt. I remember, though, when I was in high school and they went to Super Bowl 16 at the Pontiac Silverdome. And I was rooting for the Niners, even as a Raider fan, because I grew up with so many Raider or with Niner fans in my family and my friends. And we all thought it was going to be a one off, like they were going to go back to stinking. Who knew they're going to be a friggin' dynasty? And there was a song on the radio, you can win the Super Bowl, keep the trophy in the Bay. The Bay Area was kind of united. It wasn't this Facebook, Twitter hate that they have now. The Bay Area was pretty united about the Niners winning that Super Bowl. I know I sound like I'm President Taft now. How old are you, Diddle? But the San Francisco Chronicle had they hired Dwight Clark to do a daily diary from Pontiac. And the first column he did was, I like Wendy's. They have square patties. They're my favorite. The thing I like about Wendy's is that it's really good. Yeah, Wendy's is definitely my favorite. Like, what the hell? Then the next day, I like Wendy's better than Burger King. Burger King's patties are round. I swear these were the columns. If you can go back and look at them, I remember I was 16 years old. The Super Bowl is always my age. I was 16 at Super Bowl 16. That's why we're having Super Bowl 83 this year. But Dwight Clark, the third day. The other great thing about Wendy's is you can get chili there and a frosty dessert. McDonald's doesn't have a frosty dessert. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I thought, is he blatantly been hired by Wendy's? Or does he just really, really like Wendy's? And remember what Joe Montana always called him? Do White. He was never Dwight Clark, like Dwight Eisenhower. He was Dwight. Well, the thing about Dwight, listen, I'm not trying to harp on Dwight Clark, but I don't want that guy parking my car. I want him catching passes. There's no doubt. I mean, when Bill Walsh went to go see Steve Fuller at Clemson, who's that guy you're throwing to? Oh, my roommate, Dwight? I think we'll draft him, too. Never got Fuller anyway. On the text line, 95795. Rick, do you think that Mark Davis is regretting saying that he wants to stay in Oakland? That's exactly what I was saying earlier. Because you look pretty dumb. I went to that town hall meeting, that farcical charade, those NFL execs on stage there at the Paramount. That was like jury duty for them. And there were some pretty impassioned people that had some really good things to say. There were a couple of dumb guys that got on the mic and just shredded Raider ownership. And I felt like saying, you know what? I know you want your 15 minutes. And I know you've been waiting to scathe on the Raiders, but you're not helping right now. I'm not saying bend over and kiss Mark Davis on his behind. But if you want to talk about how much Raider ownership sucks in front of the NFL people that are trying to see if they're going to move or not, that's not good. But some people gave very impassioned speeches. Dr. Death gave a good one. I was going to give one, too. And they're like, no media people. I'm like, all right, whatevs. I pounded my fist enough times at city council meetings. And I mean, I was there for the victory court thing for the planning commission, which Libby Schaff was on. And I remember, bless her heart, she said she remembers when her dad pulled her out of school so she could watch the A's win the Super Bowl. And I was like, ouch. Now, there's sometimes you have a slip of the tongue. You can have a malaprop or other such type of syntax error like that. But then when she became mayor, I'm like, I hope that was just a little slip of the tongue.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens. Thank
you for that, Curly. But, yeah, I pounded my fist enough times. That was for victory court. Remember that? And this, oh, I said, listen, you know, you got to break a few eggs. And there was a guy there who said, look, I just bought a townhouse there. I'm willing to have it torn down. And this old guy with a cane followed me out in front of City Hall. And he was like, do you want them to tear down my house? Is that what you want? And I said, dude, I'll tear down my house right now if it means a new stadium for the A's. He said, you frick'em frack'em. You must be on 95.7 The Game.
Live. Rick Tittle. 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. I'm Rick Tittle on the mic for the next half hour, and then we'll throw it over to Zach and Guru. So it's a good time to get on in and talk sports. 888-957-9570. Text line 95795. And as always in my last segment, all sporting topics will be addressed. You know, Mark Davis, when he said, don't worry, Raider fans, we'll get it right. You weren't talking to any Raider fans. We don't want you to get it right if it means you're moving. You could say it to a mirror. Why don't you just quit waiting for handouts? You know, why don't you make it happen? I know you're not, well, you're poor compared to Stan Kroenke, but compared to the rest of us, you're filthy rich. Why don't you make something happen? Instead of just waiting for everybody to just hand you everything. Let's go to John in San Francisco. What's up, John?
Hey, Rick, I called you before and mentioned, like, hey, why don't the Raiders look at maybe Sacramento or someplace even in between, like Davis? Like, you know, you don't think Davis would want to move to Davis?
No, that sounds that's the worst idea I've ever heard.
but after the, you know, but yesterday there was a report that, hey, you know, Mark Davis owns land in Texas in between San Antonio and Dallas. So what's the difference between BFE California and BFE Texas when you would just rather be in California?
Well, I mean, listen, if he wants to move to a tiny market, yeah, that's up to him. But he's going to have to get 3/4 of the owners to agree that, I mean, listen, San Antonio has said, you got that the rich guy down there that used to own teams, and he's like, hey, don't worry about relocation fee. Don't worry about minority owners. And don't worry if you don't want to sell any of it. The Alamo Bowl. The mayor of San Antonio, they said the Alamo Bowl's ready to go. We had made improvements from the Final Four. San Antonio has told the Raiders, hey, we're ready to go right now. We'll build you a new stadium. And people said the Spurs wouldn't work. And now look, the Spurs, one of the model franchises in all of sports. So, yes, they have their hands out. But that doesn't mean that the other owners are going to sign off on that.
Well, okay, so if the Raiders went to Sacramento, would they even have to pay a location fee? And, I don't know, Sacramento might be tapped out because they're building this basketball arena.
You only
look at where Arco is. Now there's a lot of room out there.
But why do you think they're leaving Arco? It's in the middle of friggin' nowhere. It's on 80 East towards Reno. It's not even near downtown. That was dumb to put it out there in the first place. But listen, they wouldn't be relocating to Sacramento. They would just be playing there temporarily until they could find a home. So if they did do that, which they won't, they wouldn't have to pay a relocation fee. You don't have to pay a relocation fee if you're moving there forever, in quotes.
Okay, well, I was thinking as a long-term option. Now I'd read something about the Coliseum Commission is offering concessions to the Raiders to get them to stay for the next few years. Is there anything to that?
That was just Libby said, and listen, it's all talk. And like I said, I don't want to point fingers at mayors like a lot of people do. Like, what's Oakland doing? It's not Oakland's responsibility. It's really not. This is a privately owned company. But she said 60 acres, which originally that's all Mark wanted. Now Mark said, no, I need all 120 acres. But Oakland did say in that last paper that they gave to the league anyway, that they would pay $90 million from the city of Oakland, what was called estimated infrastructure budget. So they would be able to handle that. But also, like what happens when USA plays Mexico in soccer, or there's a Rihanna concert or a boat show or something? You know, Mark Davis wants every penny of that. So it almost seems like he's being extra petulant towards Oakland because he didn't get his way in L.A.
Yeah, but I don't know. His options seem limited right now. And there's also talk about, you know, if the Chargers do go to L.A., can San Diego then woo the Raiders? And I don't know what the NFL's take on is going to be there.
Yeah, that would be a disaster for the NFL to move to that smaller market, at least 12 spots below, you know, what is it, 18th market? They'd be third banana in Southern California, and they would pull Charger fans away from L.A. because Dean Spanos says this is where they are. You would pull fans away from the Rams, and they want every Ram fan they can get. So I don't see that.
So that would have to be revoted on then.
That would have to be voted on too. There'd be a relocation fee, and that's the last thing I think the league would want to happen. Anyway, John, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. All right, the lines are open. 888-957-9570. And I can say now, when I mess up and say Los Angeles Rams, I won't sound so stupid anymore. I just need the Baltimore Colts to move back now, and the St. Louis Cardinals football team to move back as well. On the text line, 95795, from the 510, why isn't the Concord Naval Weapons Site a possibility? It seems like Davis was interested at one point. You mean on the other side of Highway 4 from Clyde? I love that. Where do you live? Clyde. What are you going to do? You're going to be sitting there and then all of a sudden have some bombs go off? Don't worry, they're underground. Listen, there's plenty of room. There's plenty of money. It's just a matter of somebody wanting to get it done. And dodging that bullet on Tuesday, which people ask me, what do you know? What do you know? I don't know anything. No one does. I think all the insiders, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Who knew it would swing 30-2 like that? It's like Reagan over Mondale, 49-1. It's like it just swung like that. We didn't know that. And Raider fans dodged a bullet. Unless you're Ice Cube and wanted them to move back to L.A., I didn't. So we don't know what he's going to do now, but he would lose all leverage with Oakland if he would just put his tail between his legs, walk back into that building again, and said, all right, I'll do a one-year lease. I mean, the fans would love it. I would love it. But he has to, he's painted himself into a corner, and I resent him for that. I really do, because he's not in a building that's filled with asbestos and rats and teetering stands built on toothpicks that are ready to collapse. He plays in a perfectly fine stadium. People say, oh, no, Rick, the revenues that you get. Look, yeah, does he get the revenues that other teams get? No. Did the Niners go from bottom third to top third in revenue when they moved to Santa Clara? Of course they did. I'm not that dumb. But you still get exactly 1/32nd of the TV contract. There's no revenue sharing like they have in baseball. I mean, Lou Wolf can sit back, just draft guys, trade them when they start making money. You know, they get into their arb years, start thinking about dealing them. And you could sit back and get a $40 million check. You know, and I remember, Al thought that it should be like that. Because, you know, Al wasn't a businessman. He was a football guy who got control of the team because he made things happen and he was savvy. And that's like I say, if you own an NFL team and there are people interested, you can get them involved. But if you act in the draconian fashion and you're a maverick and standoffish with everyone, how are you going to get anything done? And then you just put your hand out and say, hey, look, and, you know, and in Cleveland, they built Jacobs Field and they paid for everything and they didn't need any money. It doesn't work that way in California. You got to build it yourself. Stan Kroenke is going to build it itself. The city of San Francisco didn't lift a finger to help the Giants. That even had to go to a ballot, and it barely passed. People said, I remember after that, who was that idiot? I'm glad I forgot his name. That was head. He was against AT&T Park, or back then Pac Bell Park. And then when it passed, he said, the San Francisco waterfront is now ruined. Yeah, it's so ruined. You cross the Lefty Odell Bridge now. There's hospitals. There's a horsey show. Odysseo by Cavallo. There's horsey shows. Now there's going to be an NBA arena. Apparently, it's going to get built there as well. And by the way, that's a subject for another day. Where can we find a place that is the least accessible to our fans? Besides building it at the center of the earth, I would probably think down there. But that's for another day. Do you know how bad you have to hate Oakland? They have a perfectly good arena that's highly accessible with public transportation and BART train, and then spend $1 billion of your own money to move it 8 miles to the west just so when you leave your estate in Burlingame, you don't have to cross the bridge. Do you know how bad you have to hate it? Say, well, I want to go out to dinner at Alfred's and have a steak. I don't want to go out to dinner at Chez Panisse. So I'm going to spend $1 billion of my own money. So I put it out to you rich people out there, or just smart people. I actually sat down with my pea brain. I sat down with my cat, and we matched wits, and we said, what can we do? And I tried to think of an idea, not to be a conquering hero, just because I don't want the Raiders to move. I'm like, let's get creative. The answer might be right under our nose, and maybe you don't have to be a rich guy. You can just figure it out. I know people have said the Alameda Naval Air Base. First of all, the Posey Tube, could you imagine how choked off that would be? And plus, that's protected by the state as a natural resource to, I don't know, broken down Tomcat fighters. It's hard enough to get the Bladium. But I like the thinking. People are coming up. See, throw it at the wall. It won't stick, but just throw it. And if you're listening and you're rich, and I guarantee you somebody's listening to me right now who is rich, because this is the San Francisco Bay Area. If you've got some way to figure out a financing deal with land that would make Mark Davis happy, it can be done. I refuse to believe that all possible. Remember Lou Wolf? And this was, this had to be 7 years ago. He wrote a letter to Major League Baseball saying, I have exhausted all possible places in Oakland. I've tried and I've tried. There's no possible place left for me to build. So we're washing our hands of Oakland. That was a long time ago. Was he right? Of course he wasn't right. But you get to a point where you throw up your hands and you give up. And that's what happened with Mark Davis. And that's why he said, well, don't worry, Raider fans. We'll get it right. Well, we don't want it getting right by you moving the team. So anyone who felt sorry for him, you feel sorry for him. Don't feel sorry for Raider fans. It was a great day in the history of the Oakland Raiders to see Mark Davis up there marginalized. And I could not care less. Like, oh, the Raiders are a proud franchise and the big money guys are getting the love. Good. Good. Anything that keeps them here. I wasn't the least bit embarrassed. I was jumping for joy that all of a sudden, 30-2, I was listening to Damon, and he was talking with Harrison Barnes, and I think Gianna broke the news to him that it was 30-2. I almost drove my car off the road. I'm like, wait, seriously? They're not going? That was the best possible scenario. So the Raiders can look impotent, toothless, they can give somebody a good gumming, but they're not going to get their way. It's a big boys club with a lot of money, and he didn't have the money. And I say hallelujah to that. Let's go to Hugh, who's in Oakland. What's up, Hugh?
Hey, build a stadium on Treasure Island. What the hell?
Please, no.
Why not?
It's hard enough to get there to just
they
go there as it is.
With all that money they're going to put into it.
Do you know after the Pan Pacific exhibition closed, they were going to make that the San Francisco airport? But back then, all they had was like Fokker triplanes, so it made sense.
Who was smoking crack then?
Well, it wasn't so much crack back then. It was probably somebody had too much absinthe. But yeah, they thought that would be the airport. But like I said, back then, you know, you were flying in on the Kitty Hawk.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't want any part of Treasure Island as far as the state. Whenever they have, I remember they had a rugby competition there because they they do it every year. And they also have concerts there sometimes. The bridge shuts down. There is one lane to get on and off. And when you join, you got to wrench your head around like The Exorcist, like Linda Blair. And then you got to gun it. Could you imagine thousands and thousands of cars like that? By the time you got off Treasure Island, it'd be time for the next game on 95.7 The Game.
Mornings with Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
Chad here. Chip Kelly will be introduced as the 49ers' next head coach. What's the reaction in the locker room? We'll talk with Matt Maiocco, CSN Bay Area at 8. And what else, Joe?
A divisional round recap with Sports Illustrated's Aaron Nagler at 8:30. And we'll talk with former Niner, former Raider, Andre Carter at 9.
Hey, Joe, have yourself a good-looking weekend, my man.
Thanks so much, Chad. I appreciate it.
Chad, Joe, and Lowe. Mornings 6 to 10 a.m. on 95.7 The Game.
Have you decided which TV you want to buy?
No, not really.
What about going to video only?
I know they've got the best deals on the top-rated TVs, but I'm just looking for something basic and simple.
Like a 32-inch TV for $149 or a 42-inch TV for $239?
Yeah, like that.
Or a 49-inch TV for $349?
Yeah, that's what I have in mind. Are those prices online or at the warehouse club?
No, those prices are at video only. They've got deals on budget-priced TVs just like they do on the top-of-the-line Samsung, Sony and LG models.
Really? Deals on budget and on top-rated TVs?
Yep. Check them out, or
I'll be sorry.
At Video Only, you won't find huge stores with refrigerators or dishwashers, but you will find the best deals on HD TVs, Blu-rays, cameras, camcorders, and home theater systems. Shop around. Just make sure you visit Video Only, because if you don't,
you'll be sorry.
In Mountain View, San Mateo, Hayward, Dublin, and San Rafael. Video only.
If you're anything like me, your New Year's resolution is to get organized. Well, that just got easier with Tile. Tile is a tiny Bluetooth tracker that attaches to anything I don't want to lose. I Tile everything. My keys, laptop, my daughter's tablet, my son's bike, the remote, even my new designer purse. They're all synced up to the free app, so whenever something is missing or my kids hide it, I make it ring right from my phone. I can find it in seconds. Tile can find your phone, too. Just press any of your Tiles, and it'll ring your phone, even if it's on silent. With Tile, getting out the door in the morning is now hassle-free. For a limited time, treat yourself to a multi-pack and save up to 40%. That's as low as $15 per Tile, plus free U.S. shipping. This offer is only available when you order direct at gettilenow.com. If you'd miss it, Tile it. Order today. That's gettilenow.com. Gettilenow.com.
95.7 The Game on demand. Listen to any show whenever you want. Just tap on demand in our smartphone app. Available free right now for iPhone and Android. Feedback on anything you hear and catch up with the stuff you missed. Connect with 95.7 The Game. Like us on Facebook at 957 The Game. Rick Tittle on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks for that, and welcome back to 95.7 The Game. Rick Tittle with you for one more segment. And as always, the last segment, all sporting topics are welcome. You want to ask me about the Tottenham game this morning against Sunderland? It's a fantastic 4-1 victory. We're here for you. 888-957-9570. Text line 95795. That laughter is coming from Zachariah. He's coming up next for... Next, 3-4 hours? What is it?
3 hours. Five to eight.
There you go. 5 to 8.
You got to start remembering this, Rick. We have a set schedule now. You are every Saturday and Sunday, 3 to 5. Gruer and I are every Saturday and Sunday, 5 to 8.
But you guys were doing 4 hours there for a while.
Yeah. I think they, something with the switch over from ESPN to Fox, now they cut it off at 8. Weekend programming cuts off at 8, not 9.
Gotcha.
I don't know exactly what that's about.
So as I was saying, Zach, that Tuesday was a day of glory for Raider fans.
Uh-huh.
And people were saying so many negative things like, oh, what's next for this poor franchise? No, it was a day of celebration. And I couldn't care less that Mark didn't get his way because I was this close to never going to a professional football game for the rest of my life. The one that
if they had moved to L.A., wouldn't have went?
I would, you know what? I went last time. I would still be a Raider fan because you can't switch at this point.
Yeah.
But
what if you were in Southern California?
I'm just saying.
At a principal, you wouldn't have went to a game in L.A.?
No, I probably would. But I'm just saying, regularly going to a game.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Those days were going to be over forever.
It's true.
It was very close.
Yeah.
And yet people, I don't like people speaking for Raider fans saying, oh, it's too bad for them. What are you talking about? It's too bad for Ice Cube. It's not for Oakland fans.
And Snoop Dogg. He's a Pittsburgh fan. Yeah. I actually wanted to ask you specifically this. When I was getting ready to come in here to do this, I wanted to ask you, were you, and this is what I'm going to ask Raider Nation when we start doing our show, you being a lifelong diehard Raider fan, been to a Super Bowl, been with them back and forth between L.A., did it anger you when, first of all, that was like an SNL skit, that whole owners meeting and all these guys coming. It literally looked like an SNL skit to me. But when he got to the podium and he didn't mention the word Oakland and he said this is not a victory for Raider Nation, while simultaneously Raider Nation over here in Oakland, I heard people were screaming out of their cars, Oakland, people were going crazy. I mean, it felt like a victory for the Oakland fans, and yet the owner goes up there and says this was not a victory and doesn't say the word Oakland once. Did that pee you off?
Well, I'll say that I resented the fact that he's put us in this situation when he didn't have to, because now he can't go back to that building. He'll lose all his leverage. I don't know where he's going to go for a year. He can't move anywhere permanently in this next year. He won't have the votes. He doesn't have the time.
No.
No, and we know Spanos is going to L.A. for sure. He'd be an idiot to let Mark have that money.
Yeah.
I resent the fact that he was very hypocritical about saying that Oakland was his first choice when you could see on his face that all along that it wasn't. And like I said, I thought it was great that he was marginalized. You know, like anything that keeps the Raiders here, I'm for.
No doubt.
I'm for.
Are you confident that they're going to be here long term now?
No, absolutely not.
Where do you think they're going to go?
I don't know where they're going to go, but they can't go back in the Coliseum.
They're not going to San Diego.
No, they're
not. They're not going to San Antonio.
No, they're not. You're right.
They're not going to San Antonio.
You're right.
So I'm not saying Oakland, the city specifically, but close enough, like Pleasanton or Dublin or where do they have the training camp? Even Napa. Like, are you confident they'll be within an hour from Oakland?
No. He's so bitter right now, that dude, Davis. He's so bitter. I don't know what he's going to do. He might do something just to spite the NFL.
Really?
Yeah. Because if he signs a one-year lease to the Coliseum and he has to go back there, Oakland, I guarantee you, will put him on the back burner. They'll like, you know what? He has nowhere to go. He'll just keep signing one-year leases forever. We really don't need to get him a stadium.
Well, he's got to know they mean business now.
No. If he...
How many more one-year leases do you think he's going
to
sign?
Yeah, but there are a lot of people that say this about the A's, too. They're like, look, Lou has nowhere to go. We don't need to take him seriously. We don't have to play hardball with him.
Yeah.
And it'd be the same thing with Mark. Look, Mark, you got nowhere to go. You know you're coming back.
Yeah.
So what he has to do is said, well, I'm going to play at the new El Cerrito High School field.
Yeah.
I'm going to play in Gaucho Land. I mean, he has to do something to force their hand, don't you think?
It'll be interesting to find out. Part of me is tired of all this. Part of it's very intriguing as the story unfolds. Like, in the beginning, you thought they were gone for Carson. The subcommittee voted 5-1.
Yes.
And it's never happened where a subcommittee votes one way and then the big group gets together and they go against the subcommittee. Otherwise, what the hell was the subcommittee for? So part of it's intriguing. I want them to stay. And look, I don't even care if it's in Oakland. I love Oakland. I'm a Berkeley kid. But if it's in Dublin, or as long as I can take BART there, I'm happy. Happy with it. You can't take BART to L.A.
One more
thing.
At least
not yet. They're going to have like one of those super jets soon,
the
right?
The bullet train?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, get you there in like an hour?
It'll happen in 2077.
When hovercrafts come.
The end of Bieber's third term. But you know, you think it's funny and ironic.
He was going to be president.
Now he's Canadian,
and they're going to do a third term.
They're going to change the constitution.
Gotcha.
Foreigners and third term.
Fair enough.
Don't you think it's ironic though, Zach, that in the first season and forever, where we're okay with the GM, we're okay with the head coach, we're okay with the quarterback,
which is rare,
we're okay with the young talent.
Yes.
And then we have this.
I know. You can't even enjoy it when it's good.
Right.
Vic Tafer at 5:30, Mark Purdy at 6:30, and John Dickinson live from Detroit as we have sent him on.
Yeah.
What do they call it? Sending you on
assignment?
Report. On assignment. There it is.
I had JD before the game, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Sending him out
big
there.
Trip. Yeah. Cleveland?
Yeah, I heard that they're going to send us to Pinole.
Oh, really?
The budget. We're going to go to
Duke. Are they even going to send us to the Super Bowl when it's in the backyard?
We're going to go to Duker Field.
Thanks,
all right,
Rick.
Zach. All right, good. Zach and Guru coming up next. Time to chime in if you would like. 888-957-9570. Text line 95795. On the text line, Rick, what are your thoughts about Kobe's last game in Oakland last night? I'm glad you brought that up. Listen, as a basketball fan, you'd have to say that Kobe is one of the greats. And I heard some people, because we do this, a lot of people do this in sports talk. They say, hey, if you could have Steph or you could have Kobe at the beginning of their career, who would you take? And that's not even a question. That's obviously Kobe, because Kobe's played 20 years. He's one of the all-time greats, and he has five titles. I like Steph better, and I hope Steph has that kind of career. But, of course, you take Kobe. Not that I don't love Steph a million times more, and I have no love for Kobe. And this is the other thing, Anderson. I despise the Lakers. I despise them. But I also recognize they're one of the great franchises in the history of the NBA. Okay, but forever, the Lakers would come in, and Chick Hearn would be super biased. People love Chick Hearn, so biased. I talk so much smack about the Warriors. They got Kobe, and I remember it seemed like yesterday when they drafted Todd Fuller. That's when I was working for Sports Channel, and I went around the corner. We had this couch with a TV, and it was time for the Warriors to pick. And I'm not going to lie and say I wanted Kobe because I didn't know him. He was a high school kid. The years he spent in Italy, the years he spent in Philly, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, this guy's going to be a star. But it wasn't, I'm not going to lie and say, ooh, I really wanted Kobe. Because to me, he was just a name that I had read. I had never seen him play. He's a high school kid. But when they said Todd Fuller, I rolled off the couch and I let out a blood-curdling scream. And it was right when this woman that worked at Sports Channel was introducing people to her sister that was visiting. And I scared them. Because they thought that maybe, you know, that ISIS had invaded the building or something. And I went, I'm sorry. I said, the Warriors just drafted another stupid, dumb white guy. And I'm going to get into this on MLK Day, too. I'll save the I'll save that for then. Like, they did drafted another piece of garbage. And they said, how do you know that? And I said, because I am a white guy. And look at that guy. He's a complete idiot. He can't,
you people.
He can't play basketball. And I let out a blood-curdling scream. And this was from Dave Twardzik. If you remember Warrior fans, and you don't if you're under 40 or 30, Dave Twardzik was running things in Charlotte. And, oh, what an exciting team. Larry Johnson, Grandmama. And, oh, if they could only pry him away from George Shinn. And when they got Dave Twardzik, I was like, oh, what a coup. The Warriors got Dave Twardzik as general manager. And when he was asked, why did you, you know, were you interested in drafting Kobe Bryant? His quote was, I can't wait for that kid to develop. Wah! I can't wait. This is the same guy who, Rick Edelman, you said Edelman. They said, we're going to bench Tim Hardaway and start BJ Armstrong at point guard. I mean, you gotta remember, if you live through the 40 years, those 40 years where the Warriors for 35 of them were unwatchable, oh, I was still watching. And George Shinn was the guy. Remember that clown? He was the guy that told Giants fans, I'm going to save the Giants and keep them in San Francisco. And he went to Candlestick Park and he was shaking hands like Teddy Roosevelt on a caboose. People were like diving on him and saying, thank you, Mr. Shinn. And Bob Lurie said, I don't know who that guy thinks he is. I'm not selling to that idiot. I'm not selling to George Shinn. Yeah, it was a tumultuous time, to say the least. But remember, it's never over. It got close to being over for the Raiders on Tuesday. It got very close. I was scared, like Zach was saying. The committee before said, hey, why don't you move to Carson? That's the place. But I also remember Mayor Frank Jordan going on Sports Final with Radich and Liebengood on Kron. And even though the Giants were sold to Tampa Bay and they're printing up T-shirts, it said the Bay Area loves the Giants. They actually call themselves the Bay Area in Tampa. And he said, it's not over yet. And they're like, no, Frank, it's over. They're sold. They're gone. They have been sold. He's like, nope, I'm not giving up yet. And then back when we had league presidents, we don't have those anymore. Ever since the Palace coup with the owner of the Brewers replaced Faye Vincent, and the owners run the league now, we used to have league presidents. Remember Chubb Feeney? Remember Bill White? Bill White was president of the senior circuit, and he said, hold on, give local ownership a chance first. And then McGowan and Shorenstein for a while. Those guys, I mean, the Giants, if you want to look at owners, the Giants have more owners probably than any team in sports. They have like 50 guys that own that team, 50 families, but they made it happen. So where are the Raiders going to play? I don't know. I have no idea. But I do know that it was a day of glory for Raider Nation that Mark Davis didn't get his way on Tuesday. And shame on you for even trying. All right, I'll see you tomorrow from 3 to 5 p.m. Coming up next, it's the Guru and Zachariah, and they'll take your calls and texts as well. I'm Rick Tittle, 95.7. Boogie!
Harrison Barnes with authority.
Get the view from the hardwood of your NBA champion Golden State Warriors with the Dubs forward, Harrison Barnes.
Barnes fills the paint.
Every Tuesday at 5:05 on the Dame and Bruce Show. Only on 95.7, The Game.
Chad Jolo here for Sleep Train. The urine clearance is on now with MLK Week special financing. And let me tell you what. Hey, look, they've got to make room for all the brand new 2016 models low. So they're moving out the 2015s. And that means you can save big on all the top name brands like Beautyrest, Posturepedic, Tempur-Pedic, and more.
Best part about buying a new bed is knowing that you're getting a peaceful night's sleep. The worst thing about buying a new bed is waiting for it to be delivered. That's why Sleep Train, if you're there before 2 p.m., they'll deliver the bed and remove your old one as well.
Look, when it comes to shopping for a new mattress, nothing, and I mean nothing, is more important than your comfort. And that's why Sleep Train's 120-day Love Your Mattress money-back guarantee gives you 120 days from delivery to make sure your new mattress is the perfect fit for you. If that new mattress ends up being too hard or too soft, you're just not satisfied with the overall comfort level, simply return it, and the Sleep Train staff will help you exchange it for one that's right for you, even up to 120 days after delivery.
Superior service, best selection, lowest price, it's all guaranteed. The urine clearance with MLK Week special financing is on now. Sleep Train is your ticket to a better night's sleep.
Hey, I have rhythm. I love to dance, and I've been told that I dance pretty well. But I'm also totally blind, which means that sometimes my circadian rhythms can get totally out of step with the world around me. Circadian rhythms are regulated by our internal master body clock. But because I can't perceive light, my body clock simply doesn't know what time it is. This can have me wide awake in the middle of the night and fighting to stay awake during the day. That can affect relationships and make it difficult to be productive at work. And it can make every day a real challenge. It's not my imagination. It's called non-24, and it affects up to 70% of people who are totally blind. So if you're like me, you're not alone, and there is hope. Call 855-856-2424 today, or visit learnmorenon24.com to find out more about non-24. Because learning more about non-24 is the first step to getting your rhythm back.
Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, visit us online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's Cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.